You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
Just because you can do it, don't mean you should do it. Do you ever think like that? Or are we constantly defending our right to be carnal? Are we constantly defending our right to be just like the world? This don't mean I ain't saved. This don't. I was talking to an elder one time. It wasn't in our church. But I was talking to an elder one time, and I was trying to talk to him about something. And he kept saying, this don't mean I ain't saved. And I said, it's not about you. This don't mean I'm not saved. It don't mean I'm not saved. The person basically had backslid and fell in some old lifestyle things that, you know. It doesn't mean you're not saved. And so people, well, I'm still saved. Ain't nobody saying you're going to hell. Has nothing to do with your salvation, but it definitely got something to do with your presentation. If I came up here this morning wearing a dress, okay, and I said, y'all, don't be judging me. This don't mean nothing. I'm as man as I ever was. And I had a dress on and some high heels. And said, this is my thing now. This don't mean I ain't going to heaven. I'm still saved. I'm going to look crazy after a while, aren't I? This has nothing to do with my salvation, but it's sure affecting my presentation, isn't it? Come on now. It definitely would have affected my presentation. Even if I was preaching the same thing that I'm saying right now in the same way, you couldn't hardly hear nothing I'm saying. Pastor Lawson. Oh, Jesus. I could be reading the scripture. You're the light of the world. You're like, this man has lost his. You couldn't hear nothing that I'm saying for how I'm looking. So don't tell me how you look don't matter. It affects your presentation. Particularly when you're supposed to be presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Sisters, you go on and witness somebody and you got your dress down to here. Got all the front open with a tattoo right here and a tattoo right here. And you leave them and say, do you know Jesus? He died on the cross for your sin. And he sure did, didn't he? You could be presenting the gospel. Don't tell me it don't affect nothing. And don't mean you're going to hell. But it affects your presentation. And what I'm trying to get us to understand is that Christians, we got to be thinking about our presentation. Because the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. Representing in Christ's stead. Telling men and women to be reconciled to God. Now, if that's part of your agenda in life as a Christian, and what I'm telling you is that it ought to be not just for the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, but for every Christian, it ought to be part of your agenda in life to bring other people to Jesus and not to repel people from Jesus and not to keep the gospel from going forth because you're so busy defending your right to be carnal. Mm-hmm. Oh my Lord, 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 Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh. Whenever y'all hear me go into that, I feel like I'm in battle right now. I'm battling trying to get this message through to you. I'm still reviewing. The woman at the Samaritan woman who had the encounter with Jesus at the well became a woman of influence. And the Bible says she went and told them, come see a man that's told me everything I did. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of John 4:39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him because of what the woman said, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. And then they asked Jesus to stay. He stayed there for two more days. And then many believed because of his word. But they initially was brought to Jesus because of her influence. Y'all with me here? Let me move on today. The early church was a very influential church. Acts 2:47, New Living Translation says about the early church, It says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. They were praising God, and then God was giving them favor with people, and they were influencing the culture and influencing people's lives so much, and people were seeing the positive effect of the gospel that others want to be a part of them. And my concern today is that the church, I mean, come on, y'all know how many times, and the truth of the matter, we can't tell them it ain't true. We have people say, you know, I ain't since me going to church, man. Same thing going on there as out here. How many of y'all heard people talk like that? And to some degree, that's true. And some degree is going to be because we, you know, we have different levels in our walk with God and all that. But certain things ought to be getting better the more we go on and know the Lord. You know, I see here these preachers, particular kind of preachers, always just make excuses for sin and say stuff like, well, you know, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We sin every day. And that just never sat well with me. Okay? One expression you over here, we're all sinners saved by grace. Now, either you're a sinner or you're saved by grace. You schizophrenic? Come on, make up your mind. What you going to be? You going to be a sinner or you going to be saved by grace? Because a sinner is one who lives the life of sin and sins willingly. That's a sinner. That doesn't mean because you're saved by grace, you can't sin. But that's not what's on your mind today. You know, I remember years ago, a friend of mine, his sister, was kidding her about something. And we had grew up. She said, Herb, let me tell you something, Herb. I will cuss you out. What's she saying? I ain't saved. I ain't trying to be saved. I will deliberately, intentionally cuss you out. I don't have to slip. I'm not tempted. I will do what I'm going. That's a sinner. A sinner sins willingly without even trying not to sin. Because that's what a sinner is. Now, once you're saved by grace, the Bible tells us that he said, crucify the flesh. He said, and if you walk in the spirit, you don't have to obey the lust of your flesh. Are y'all listening to me? First chapter says, my children, I write unto you that you sin not. Well, why would God say don't sin if you have no choice in sinning? He said, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. So if you're saved, you're saved. Okay. A sinner is what you used to be. Come on, say that. Say a sinner is what I used to be, but now I'm saved. See, you have to see yourself as righteous before God. That was the old life. This is the new life. That was the old me. This is the new me. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away and all things become. You have to identify with your new identity more than being a sinner. That's how you were born, but you were born again. Come on, y'all listen to me. Say that. Say, I've been born again, so I'm no longer a sinner. So I had to get clarification about that. And then he used to say stuff like, we all sin. We all sin every day. Every day? Come on. I think the longer you get saved, it shouldn't be every day. Every other day. Every 2 days. Every 3 days. Every 4 days. Once a week. Bi-monthly. Quarterly, semi-annually. Come on, y'all get the picture. Come on. If you're still sinning every day, you're a sinner. So the more we go on with God, the more we ought to be identifying with our new creation, with his new ways of thinking, because our mind is constantly getting renewed. I said to Pastor Marcy yesterday, I said, you realize, because I realized something by experiencing the encounters we had in the awakening and the power of God that was in demonstration. I said, that don't happen by accident. Sean, you go around all kind of places. I mean, you go to churches. The power of God just don't show up everywhere. Just because it's good music. Come on. And good riffs. and great harmony and great musician, that don't mean the power of God won't show up. There's a price for power. There's a price for his presence. First time Cheryl Brady came here, she walked out the study, came up here, walked with fear. She said, oh, it's thick up here. She said, there's been a price paid for this kind of presence. You know what I'm saying? There's a price paid for the presence of God. So I said to Pastor Boston, I said, you realize you have to do nothing to be carnal. There's no effort you have to make to be carnal. Carnal means flesh dominated. You don't have to practice being flesh dominated. You don't have to pray to be flesh dominated. You don't have to fast. Lord, I really want my flesh to be in control. You don't have to pray. You don't have to ask for it. All you have to do is not do the things to be spiritual. And you will automatically be carnal and flesh dominated. I just don't know why. I can't get victory over this. What are you doing to get victory over it? Look at Romans 8. That's why you got to have it with all these gadgets. Need the guts. See, young folk, what y'all going to do? God brings scriptures. It's over here. Need an app? Better learn this word. Romans 8. Let's start at verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, what was intended by the law, could be fulfilled in us. Watch it. Who walk not after the flesh, but what? Okay, now verse 8, it tells us how you stay carnal. For they that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. So if I'm going to be spiritual, I got to be spiritual intentionally. And all I have to do to be carnal is to not be spiritual. Okay? Those that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Come on, you know, we Southerners down here. You know, when you see a child that don't listen to his mother, what you say? That child don't mind. That child, somebody need to whip his behind, because that child don't mind. What is he saying? He don't listen to what his parents are saying. Oh, it's so good. If you are carnal, the spirit will try to tell you stuff. But you don't mind the spirit. I'm going to do what I want in there. I'm going to cuss them out anyway. Spirit of the Lord say, praying tongues right now. Praying tongues. No, I ain't going to speak in tongues. I'm going to speak out of tongues right now. Because that heifer got to be told. That's the flesh. Come on. And so all you got to do, just go along, watch everything on television. Listen to all the latest music. Come on now. Go to all the popular movies. Just go along with the world and you will automatically be carnal. You won't be able to bind. You won't be able to loose. And the devil will look at you with your swatted t-shirt on and say to you, Brenda Todd, I know. Marcia Bailey, I know. But who are you? Because you have no power, because all you've been doing is focusing on natural things. Look at this. So verse 6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I have to be deliberate about being spiritual. Verse 7, because the carnal mind, all this is about a mindset, how you think. The carnal mind that thinks according with the flesh, doing what it wants to do, saying what it wants to say, sleeping with what it wants to sleep with, going to every party, and because you don't have nothing to do with your salvation. He said the carnal mind is an enmity, is an enemy against God and the will of God. So God's not going to show up where you're an enemy of his spirit. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed what? Can be. Verse 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, but you got to think of yourself differently. In verse 8, verse 9, but you are not of the flesh. You are of the spirit. If so be the spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man don't have the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So you got to be deliberate about being spiritual. Well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. But if you're going to be spiritual, you probably need to show up here. Just because I don't read the Bible don't mean I ain't saved. Nah. But if you're going to be spiritual, you're probably going to need to read the word. Just because I don't pray don't mean I ain't saved. No, but if you're going to take a thought over your flesh, you got to pray just to make it today. That's why we pray. Are y'all getting anything out of this? I feel a teacher spirit on this morning. Okay. So the early church was a church of influence because they were walking in the spirit of God. God was moving. God was showing up. Miracles were being wrought. Signs and wonders were being wrought. People's lives were being changed. And people who wanted their lives changed. This is what I want to get to. People who wanted their lives changed were drawn to them. Okay. We all know, I don't mean to harm here. We all know that there are churches that you know you go to if you don't want your life changed. Because I know I'm not going to be challenged here, but if I just want to say I went to church. Now, there's no such thing as this, but people used to say this years ago. And I'm saved, but I ain't right direction saved. What does that mean? We don't have no corner on salvation. Now, I'm going to challenge you with the word. Okay, I'm going to challenge us to bring our lives up to the level of God's word and let the word change us so that we can really represent Jesus on the earth. So the early church was an influential church. Now, when you're a person of influence, we see the early church here, people take you seriously. When you're a person of influence, they don't minimize you, disregard you, and disrespect you. Somebody say, put some respect on my name. Put some respect. The early church, people took them seriously. Mother Bailey, she was hard on me, even as I told you, I started preaching at the age of 12, and I was mainly being around them in my early teenage years. And she, you know, Pastor Moss and I, we were talking about this the other night. When I was coming along, younger people wanted to be around older people. We highly esteemed the older people. We felt the older people had some wisdom that they could impart to us. Watch it. We felt we weren't even being respected and they didn't acknowledge us. Now, younger people try to shun older people. Not understanding, like Moses said to his father-in-law, even though God called Moses, spoke to him in a burning bush and all that, Moses asked his father-in-law, Jethro, the Lord told me to lead these people through this wilderness. He said, but I ain't been this way before. Will you please go with us? Because we have not been this way before. You have to have enough sense to know that there's some parts of life that you have not been through before, and some older people have been that way. So when they try to give you counsel about relationships and about finances and about buying stuff and who you marry, you might need to listen. I said to an older person in our church, I think we've been married about 2 or 3 times. And I said, you're talking about this young couple. I said, you need to give them some counsel. I said, you've been through enough. I said, you've been through enough. I think you can give them some counsel. And some things you learn what to do, and some things you learn what not to do from older people. So the early church were people took them seriously. Look at Acts 5, 13 and 14. Okay, I'm going there. So Mother Mary used to tell me, she said, now you can't play with all these young people if you're going to be preaching to them. I said, Lord Jesus. So we'd be riding on the van, in the van. I'd be there with all of the teenagers. Everybody be laughing and talking. And see, and our chief keeper, I heard you was on there laughing with the young people. I'm like, geez, I can't laugh. She said, you can't be joking with these people and then preach to them. She was really trying to tell me that you got to have another level of influence. She used to say stuff like this to me. Some of the stuff I didn't understand until I got older. If you play with a dog, he's going to lick your face. I didn't know what that meant until some folks licked my face. I'm like, oh. You're playing too much. They got too familiar with you. They don't respect you anymore. If you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. The early church understood this. They realized they had to be people of influence. Look at Acts 5, 13 and 14. I want y'all to see this, y'all. This is serious, y'all. No one, I'm reading New Living Translation. Well, I'll read King James first. Put up King James first. Acts 5, 13. And the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnify them. Now y'all see why I want to read from New Living Translation. Y'all say, what the durst? The durst. The durst what? Let's listen to it from New Living Translation. New Living Translation says, look at this. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. They said, if we ain't trying to be saved, we ain't messing with those folks. If we ain't coming here with the right agenda, we ain't trying to play with this thing. Come on, keep it up. No one else dared join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds of both men and women. The church, early church carried themselves. They said, listen, man, if you want Jesus, man, go join with them. If you want to live holy, go join with them. He said, man, if you come to play, don't play with those folks. Leroy Thompson said that. He said, son, you get the back hand of the anointing. Look, Janae, say, you don't want to get the back hand of the anointing. The backhand of the anointing is when God says, I will trouble them that trouble you. The backhand of the anointing is God said, listen, back up out of this. I got this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So the early church understood that there was an anointing, but there's a backhand of the anointing. And it said, nobody dared join to them or mess with them unless they were serious about the things of God. That's the kind of church the early church was. Listen to that from the Amplified. It says that none of those who are not of their member dared to join or associate with them. That's the Amplified. But the people held them in high regard and praise and made much of them. It's time for the church to walk in the kind of anointing that people respect us. That people are careful about putting their mouth on us. Not just the man of God. But on you. That you walk in that kind of power and that kind of anointing. You don't have to do anything, but the backhand of the anointing will defend you. Look, somebody say, you don't know who you're messing with. Oh, come on. There's the backhand of the anointing. God told Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. What you try to do to me, already done to you. Until you do right by me, everything you touch gonna fail. Didn't need no salt, didn't need a doll, nothing. That's the backhand of the anointing. So that's the kind of anointing early church walked in. Now all of us have been influenced by someone in some way. Either positively or negative. All of us are either influencing someone in some way, positively or negative. The question is, have you been influenced positively or negatively? Who's influencing your life the most right now?
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for being a person of influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, Women's Bible Study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.